In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
Van harte welkom bij Hour of Power. Bobby Schuller heeft het over iets waar we allemaal mee bezig zijn. Namelijk, je hoeft je niet te haasten. Hij gaat spreken over onthaasten. En dat in de serie Je bent geliefd. Een mooi thema. En natuurlijk is er veel muziek. Anthony Evans zingt. En hij deed mee aan The Voice en bracht het heel ver. Over muziek gesproken. 16 december hebben we het kerstconcert van Hour of Power in de Grote Kerk in Den Haag. En daar zal onder andere Jonathan Vroeg optreden. De ster uit The Lion King. En Mindy Kim uit Amerika. Het koor zingt zometeen. En bij me op de bank zit echt een koninklijke hoogheid. Een royal princess. En dat is ze ook uit Oeganda. Ze is nu in Nederland met haar vader. Ze zingt graag. Goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Spreek je al een beetje Nederlands, uw naam is?
Klein beetje Nederlands.
Wat is je droom? What's your dream?
My dream is to earn a lot of money to make orphanages around the world, most especially the poor orphanages. And I want to make sure that each one of the orphanages get food, money, and some place to stay and drink.
Wow, wonderful. You're going to sing for us as well, eh? Because you're a famous singer in Uganda.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Nou, dan weten we dat. En dan gaan we nu kijken naar Shepherd Grove, naar Hour of Power in Amerika.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning.
And welcome, church family. It feels so good to be with you this morning. Thank you for being here. Now, something I love doing before my prayer times is just trying to mentally unplug from my to-do list, even from things I love like being a mom or a pastor's wife, just unplugging from everything and letting my soul be before the Lord. And we hope this is a time that you can do that, that you can unplug from all your responsibilities and just be a child of God. Turn around and shake the hand of the person next to you and say, God loves you and so do I.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you love us. Not because of what we do or what we have or what people say about us, or our achievements, or any of those things. Today, we're going to be relaxed in the easy rhythms of grace. We're just going to trust you, God. We don't need to hurry. We can just trust you, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
preparation for Bobby's message, the words of our Lord found in Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Church family, we are trusting God will get us where we need to go without hurrying. May we enjoy the moment of today. Amen.
Today we come as a community of God's people in prayer together. Would you join me? Gracious God, we're aware of the richness of life that you have given out of your abundant love for each one of us. And for those who seek new life, we ask for your grace and new beginnings. We come to you and ask you to lead us in the way of your Son Jesus, as he taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
I've seen darkness shattered by light. I've seen joy break after the night. I want to see it again. I've seen tragic and hopeless days turn to stories of amazing grace.
En dat was Anthony Evans met See You Again. Nou, dat geldt voor Ellie Zuiderveld. Ellie, leuk dat je hier weer eens bent.
Ja, zomaar hè?
Zomaar. Een tijdje geleden belde je en toen zei je, joh, dit is nou zo'n leuk Oegandees meisje in ons land. Dat kan zingen, ze is een prinsesje en nou, die zou je in het programma moeten halen.
Ja.
Waarom?
Ja, omdat ik herken altijd talent. En dit is ook weer zo'n meisje met talent. En ze heeft ook een goede boodschap. Dat hoorde ik net. Zij wil andere kinderen helpen die niets hebben. En daar wil ze veel geld voor verdienen. Nou, dat is toch hartstikke mooi.
Ja. Dinah Miss, you're a princess. That's quite something.
Yeah.
Do you really feel a princess?
Yeah, I really feel like a real princess.
And your mother is also a princess.
Mm-hmm. She's a princess.
Oh, how is that possible?
She's from a royal family. And she acts like a princess, and she has courage like a princess.
That is quite something. Hey, maar je bent nu in Nederland, je spreekt een beetje Nederlands. Wil je hier wonen of in Oeganda?
Hier.
In Nederland?
Ja.
Dus je wilt prinses in Nederland worden?
Ja.
Dat lijkt me wel leuk, ja. En je vindt Ellie leuk, hè? Ze kan mooi zingen. Ellie is heel beroemd in Nederland met Ricket. Iedereen kent ze. Vroeger zongen ze een mooi liedje.
Ja.
Dus het meest bekende liedje is de kauwgomballenboom.
Ja hoor.
Ja, daar gaan we weer.
Ja, dat is waar. Midden in het tuintje van mijn oude malle oom staat een kauwgomballenboom, een echte kauwgomballenboom. Nou, ik zing het niet helemaal.
Nee, hoor. Dat vind ik ook. Jullie kunnen ook samen zingen, hè, geloof ik.
Nou, hebben we net ontdekt dat zij een liedje kent op een cd'tje dat ik haar gegeven heb. Dat gaat over Bozi, een jongetje in Afrika. Het gaat zo.
Bozi, helemaal in Afrika, in het verre Kenia, aan het meer Victoria. Bozi, als ik denk aan Afrika, zie ik dat ik naast je sta, aan het meer Victoria.
Dat is wel heel knap van jou hoor.
Oh, mooi. Hey, why wants a princess to take care for children who live in an orphanage? There are many Ugandese children who are orphans. And you know, of course, the famous choir of Atoto is also of orphans. Why are there so many orphans in Uganda?
There are so many orphans in Uganda because, first of all, parents like... First, the children to do lots of work, and the children are also tired, then they run away from home. Second, the parents die. Third, the parents throw away the kids.
Yeah? Wow. That's quite something. You're only 10, huh?
Yeah, I'm only 10.
But you know what you want. Yeah. Tell me about your dad. He will be soon in the program.
Ah. My dad is a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good preacher, and I also preach sometimes.
Oh, you're a preacher too? Probably the youngest in the world.
Well, I think I'm not the youngest.
Oh, okay, good. You're gonna sing for us. It's a clip. And what's the clip and the song about?
The song is about you shouldn't worry, because even though you have no tea or food, you know that Jesus cares for you and there's always someone who's there to watch over you.
Nou, that's a beautiful song. Hey Ellie, wat je hebt gezegd, ik ben altijd bezig met jong talent.
Ja.
Wat voel jij hierbij?
Ja, dit meisje wordt wel wat. Zij wil ook. Ze wil er ook hard voor werken. Ze is pas een maand in Nederland en ze spreekt al het Nederlands. Ze heeft zangles bij Jacqueline Jonkers. Dat is niet de minste. En die gelooft ook in haar. En ze wil dansen, ze wil gitaar leren spelen. Ze wil ervoor gaan.
Ellie, in al die jaren dat je zingt, hoeveel jaren zijn dat nu samen met Rikke?
Zeker 52 jaar.
Dat is niet te geloven.
Nee, ongelooflijk. Ja. Maar we zijn 50 jaar getrouwd.
Ja.
Dit jaar.
Fantastisch. Ja. En al die tijd, in je hippietijd zong je liedjes over het leven. En nu zing je liedjes over geloven en God. Wat doet het je als je ziet dat het overgenomen wordt door de jonge generatie?
Oh, heerlijk. Ik vind het zo fijn als wij kunnen stoppen. Want dan gaan mensen als zij, meisjes als zij, gaan verder. En zij staat helemaal achter wat ze gelooft en wat ze zingt. En ik denk dat hier een heel groot talent zit.
Dat is
en Jacqueline zegt, jij moet eigenlijk ook seculier gaan zingen. Nee, zegt ze, ik wil alleen maar gospel zingen.
Really?
Ja.
Oké, wel Ellie en Dunamis. Leuk dat jullie hier de oude generatie en de piepjonge generatie zo samen zitten. En Dunamis, please introduce your clip.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoy my clip. Here we go.
Please do not worry. No, no, no worry. Please do not worry. Jesus cares for you. You wake up in the morning, look around the table. No food for your children, no sugar in the tea. Tears start to pour. Jesus says, do not worry, I care for you.
Pieter Jansen, dan moet je toch wel trots zijn als je dochter zo mooi kan zingen en springen. En wat een leuke clip, zeg.
Ja, absoluut. Ik ben er heel erg blij mee.
Nou ben ik natuurlijk heel benieuwd, net als de kijkers, hoe jij als oer-Hollandse Nederlander in Oeganda terechtkomt. En dan een Oegandese knappe prinses, Veet heet ze, aan de haak slaat.
Ja, precies. Dat is een heel verhaal.
Dat wel weet
je. Ik ben op een gegeven moment naar Oeganda gegaan op vakantie. En God heeft me daar echt geroepen van, jij moet hier naartoe. En ik had echt zoiets van, bekijk het maar.
Ja.
En toen heb ik de mensen ontmoet op de eerste zondag. En toen zei ik echt van, dit is mijn plaats.
En dit is mijn vrouw.
En nou, toen nog niet. Nee. Ze was toen mijn vertaalster. Dus ze heeft altijd mij vertaald.
Ja.
Ze was mijn persoonlijke vertaalster. En op een gegeven moment kregen wij een relatie. En we zeiden van, we ervoeren echt dat God ons bij elkaar had gebracht.
Ja.
En we werken nu echt als een team.
Mooi.
Al 11 jaar nu.
Ja. Want jij spreekt in Oeganda, maar je helpt ook de arme bevolking met levensmiddelen en weet ik wat allemaal.
Ja.
Want Oeganda is een arm en op het ogenblik onveilig land.
Ja, dat klopt. Het is nog steeds onveilig. Het wordt steeds onveiliger. En wat wij eigenlijk doen is dat we zien dat mensen bijvoorbeeld in de kerk zijn. En dat wel het evangelie wordt gepreekt, maar dat mensen ook eigenlijk andere hulp nodig hebben. Dus als mensen bijvoorbeeld naar het ziekenhuis gaan, dat er eigenlijk niemand is die daar echt naartoe gaat om ze te helpen. Dus dat ze eigenlijk dan aan hun lot over worden gelaten. En dan springen wij vaak in om die mensen te helpen waar we kunnen.
Daar heb je een mooi verhaal over. Hè? Want een man die de rekening van het ziekenhuis niet kon betalen, die werd in de gevangenis gezet.
Klopt, ja. We hadden een vrouw dat we kenden, die was zwanger. En die, die kon op een gegeven moment, was zo dat ze moest bevallen. En hij had dus van iemand geld geleend, wat heel veel gebeurt. En er staat vaak een deadline voor, dat je moet op die termijn moet je gewoon betalen. En als je in Oeganda dan, als iemand echt kwaad wil, dan zegt ze gewoon van, nou weet je wat, pak die man maar op. En dan word je gewoon in de gevangenis gegooid zonder enige aanleiding. En hoe lang je daar zit, dat is onbekend. Totdat iemand jou eruit wil kopen. Dus op een gegeven moment hebben wij een bericht gestuurd naar Nederland ook. En toen is hij vrijgekocht. En dat was voor de kerst, als ik nog goed herinner.
Mooi.
Ja.
Het is eigenlijk ook een mooi symbool met het evangelie, wat Jezus voor ons doet.
Absoluut, ja. Want Jezus heeft ons vrijgekocht met zijn bloed. Ja. En dat is, dat is het mooiste wat er is.
Ja.
Dat hebben we allemaal nodig.
Ja. Je straalt helemaal. Ik denk dat je het erg naar je zin hebt. Je hebt twee dochters, Michelle en deze bij de hand.
Ja.
Kun je die drie dames aan?
Nou, er moet nog eentje bij.
Oh?
Als het kan, een jongen.
Oh? Ja.
Want dan hebben we wat meer evenwicht in huis.
Vinden mensen het leuk om te horen dat je met een prinses getrouwd bent?
We vertellen het niet zoveel. Mijn vrouw is eigenlijk iemand die heel bescheiden is en zegt van nou, alle poespas van het koninkrijk wil ik eigenlijk niet, want ik heb een ander koninkrijk wat ik dien. En daar ga ik helemaal voor. En ja, dat je hier een aards koninkrijk hebt, ja, dat is prima.
Ja.
Als er bij officiële gelegenheden, dan wordt het bekendgemaakt.
Ja.
Zoals nu is haar vader overleden pas. Dan wordt het dus bekendgemaakt dat zij een prinses is.
Ja. Ik heb foto's van haar gezien met bekende politici en de hogere kringen in Oeganda.
Ja.
Ja. Voel je je ook daar thuis?
Ja, eigenlijk wel. God leidt ons naar die mensen toe.
Het is wel leuk als je kan zeggen, ik ben met een prinses getrouwd van koninklijke bloede. Ik blijf het leuk vinden.
Dat is natuurlijk, dat blijft leuk. Ja. Ja.
Ik hoop dat je gaat genieten van het koor van Hour of Power.
Of the Lord, he is strong.
Friends, would you hold your hands like this as a way of receiving from the Lord? Let's say this together. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. Thanks. You can be seated. Today, I want to talk about one of the most important things about achieving, succeeding, thriving, and most of all, being a joyful person, and that is stop hurrying. Stop hurrying. So today we're going to talk about I don't need to hurry. And need is one of the words in that sentence that is so important. Many of us hurry because we think we have to, right? We feel an inner need to hurry. But you don't have to hurry 99% of the time. Okay, if you're getting chased by a lion. Look, most of the time you don't have to hurry, and hurry doesn't make you more successful. It makes you clumsy. It makes you blind. It makes it where you miss out on the things that are supposed to come in your life. So, we need to let go of hurrying, because hurrying comes from a place of worry, of anxiety, of lack. And you have everything you need. You're in the kingdom of God. You have all the time in the world, all the health in the world, all the life in the world made available to you. You are a ceaseless being in God's great kingdom. You have an eternal destiny. And a destiny means you will get there. It's your destiny. So put your faith in that. God will get you there. Hurrying won't get you there faster. It'll just make the journey painful, arduous, and it'll make your life go faster. You can't be in a hurry and be loving. You can't be in a hurry and be compassionate. You can't be in a hurry and be present with friends who are hurting, or to be able to notice someone who is suffering. With all the recent suicides that have been happening in America, I wonder how many people hurried past their friend that just needed to notice that they weren't doing very well. You can't be compassionate and be in a hurry. And some of the worst decisions you make in your life are the result of being in a hurry. So today, slow down, relax, and trust in the goodness of God. I know I am at my worst when I'm in a hurry. How about you? It's a constant temptation to hurry everywhere we go. There's this urgency, a sense of lack. I don't have enough time. I need to accomplish more. But if you're an achiever, friends, if you're a business owner, if you've got big dreams in your heart, maybe you're a young person here today, I want you to know the best way to achieve things to God is to hold things loosely. Don't live every day from this place of lack. That's what hurrying is. It's a place of worry, it's a place of fear, it's a place of lack, and it causes life to go by too fast, and it causes you to not notice the great things that God puts in your life. When you think about somebody who's always in a hurry all the time versus someone who's slow and consistent, it's the slow person who comes across as noble, strong, dignified. That's the person you want to hire, that's the person you want to get to know, that's the person that you think is going to lead. And so be there. God will get you where you're supposed to go. Stop trying to hurry your destiny. Life, I don't know about you, but I think life is too good to spend in a hurry. If I bought you a filet mignon with mashed potatoes and shoestring French fries, you wouldn't hurry through that thing. You'd take it nice and slow, taking every bite. Who hurries through an expensive meal? I certainly don't. Why would you hurry through life? It's too good to spend in a hurry. In Proverbs 3, there's this great passage, very famous, and it touches on this point. Now, the Proverbs are an amazing tool for becoming a man or a woman of God. I think every disciple should read the Proverbs. It was actually my grandma Persley that helped me understand this, that there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and there's 31 days in a month. So if you don't know what to read in your Bible today, read Proverbs, whatever day of the month it is, I can never remember. And And that will help you grow in wisdom, stature, and it'll help you achieve the things you're supposed to do for God. But here in Proverbs 3, he says, my son, or maybe we'll say my daughter, my children, for all of you out there, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And here comes the famous one. Don't be in a hurry, don't worry, but rather trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust Him. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. He'll get you where you need to go. It reminds me of what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Then what? Then all these things. Everybody say all these things. All these things will be added to you. We can trust that God is powerful. He's willing. He's able. Hurry is coming from a place of untrusting. It's a place of lack. It's a place of worry. And your life is too good to be lived in that way, right? You have an amazing life, amazing opportunities before you. But if you're going to see them, you need to walk in the easy rhythms of grace. Why do we hurry so much? Again, I think it's that most of us think we don't have enough time. A great way to show this is by thinking about a clock, actually. What comes to your mind? What kind of feelings come to your body when you think about a clock? They're probably bad, right? Especially if it's an alarm clock. Clocks invoke these feelings of, I don't have enough time, of a measurement that I'm running out of time, I'm getting older, I'm not where I want to be in my life, I thought I'd be better than this. There's a reason the Grim Reaper holds an hourglass in his hand. He's like, ha, 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 you're out of time. Right? There's this sense about the clock that makes us feel like we just don't have enough time. And there's an irony about that. Did you know, when the mechanical clock was invented in the medieval age, it was designed by Benedictine monks to teach them to stop working and to pray. So in those days, before then, in the 11th century in Europe, there were clocks, there were sundials and water clocks and sand clocks, but they weren't really used that often. And in the 11th century, these Benedictine monks wanted to know the exact precise time of when they were supposed to pray. And so what happened, the clock would go off, and they'd be outside taking care of the crops or bees or whatever they were doing, or brewing, which was very common. And the bell would go off, and it would tell them, it's time to stop working. And it's time to rest. And it's time to go in the house of the Lord, where it's cool and quiet in the shade, and to gather with your brothers and pray. So the origin of the clock was to teach us to stop working so hard, to stop going so fast, and to remember the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And so that's what they did. So these bells would ring 6 times a day, would call them in for Benedictine prayer, and then it would finally go out to work. Until one German prince decided to take that mechanical clock and put it on a tower so that all of his subjects could sync up together and work together. And a lot of sociologists believe this was the birth of capitalism and industry. So that it was actually then that Lewis Mumford in particular says, we went from being timekeepers to time savers to time servers. Anybody feel like you're serving time? There's a reason they call prison servant time. And many of us feel like we're prisoners or we're slaves to some clock, and it nags at us. So we feel like we're always behind. Friend, you have all the time in the world. If you rest and wait, as the scriptures say, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Watch as He'll bring everything good into your life that you need. Have faith. Faith pleases God, not hurrying. And watch as He'll make it happen. Many of us, we don't recognize that hurrying actually makes our experience of life go much faster than it's supposed to be. This is important. I want you to hear me here. Henry David Thoreau said, I have no time to be in a hurry. So even back then, he understood what science has recently proved to be true. What does that mean? Think about this quote real quick. I have no time to be in a hurry. What does that even mean? It doesn't make any sense on its face. I have no time to be in a hurry. So if the older you are, I'm going to explain it. The older you are, the more you feel that the weeks, months, and years go faster. For those of you who are a little older, anybody agree with that? And the older you get, the more it feels that way. And everybody has felt this way. And it was actually Pierre Janet, I think it was the 17th, 16th century, who proposed the common belief that we all have, that the reason as you get older, time seems to go faster is because it's a ratio thing. When you're 5, a year of your life is like 20% of your life. But when you're 50, a year of your life is 2% of your life. And therefore, a year is not that big of a deal. So most people believe that's why time is experienced quicker as we get older. But actually, science has proved that that's not true. Claudia Hammond actually was the one who showed a number of studies that have showed that has nothing to do with that at all, that it's actually not even your current experience of time, but rather your memory of time. So like if a 50-year-old and a 5-year-old get on a train, it's going to, you know, the 3-hour train ride is going to feel equally long to both of them. But the memory of that train ride will feel much longer for the 5-year-old. And the reason is that it's not our age that makes us experience time in a slower way. It's new experiences. Hear me. It's new experiences that cause you to experience life at a slower pace. And so, for the 50-year-old, he or she has probably been on a train many, many times, and all the things that she's seeing are not impressive to her. But for that 5-year-old, this is his first time on a train! And he's got this ticket, and he gets like a pizza when he gets on a train, and there's all these interesting people he's never seen, and he's going to a place he's never been to before, and as he looks out the window, he sees things flying by. Meanwhile, that 50-year-old's on her phone. In other words, if you want your life to slow down, you have to slow down. You want your life to slow down, you have to experience life rather than zipping through it. If you have more experiences in life, your experience of life will slow down dramatically. Did you know that? And that could be something as simple as taking a new route to work, or meeting somebody you've never met before, or trying a restaurant you've never tried, or taking a walk through a park you've never been through before. All those experiences slow down your life just as much as going to Paris and seeing the Eiffel Tower for the first time. New is new. But many of us, we miss out on what would be new experiences because we're always in a hurry to get somewhere we've probably already been. It's not good to live life that way. Rather, live it slowly. Be smart. And experience every second and every minute of life. Life is too good to be experienced in a hurry. I don't know about you, but I agree with Thoreau. I don't have enough time to be in a hurry. I need to slow down and enjoy the life that God has given me. Jesus is never in a hurry, right? You ever see him in a hurry? He let his best friend die because he just didn't want to hurry. And then he just went and raised him from the dead. His name was Lazarus. It reminds me of this fairy story from France about the boy with the golden thread. I think many of us, we hurry because we want to get through our suffering. But very often, that's where we grow the most and even draw closest to the Lord. So in the story of the boy with the golden thread, there's this boy who hates his class, and he wanders into a forest, of course, and an old lady, of course, gives him a silver ball with a golden thread. And she says, here's this magical ball, and this golden thread is your life. And if you're going through something in your life, you want to hurry through. You just pull on the thread, and you'll get through. It's like fast-forwarding. And he says, great. So he takes this ball, and he goes back to class, and he hates it. He speeds through his class. And he's like, this is amazing. And then he goes back to school the next day, and he thinks, why would I even do this? I'm just going to fast-forward to summer vacation. Pulls a little harder and goes right to summer vacation. And he does this his whole life. And all of his suffering and all of his mistakes, he hurries through by pulling on this golden thread. And it feels like no time has gone by at all. And he gets to the end of his life. And he's now so old and he's sick and he doesn't want to pull the thread anymore, but he's afraid if he pulls it, he'll die. And he wanders back into that forest weeping. Because even though he didn't suffer much in life, he didn't experience much of life. And there in the forest, he finds that old lady. And there she is, same place as she was before. And she says, "What did you think about my magic ball?" And he says, "Well, it was a wonderful gift. I didn't suffer at all in life. But I also feel like I didn't experience it. And now here I am, an old man, and I'm sick. And I feel like I missed out." And she says, "If I gave you one more wish, what would you want?" He said, "I want you to take that golden ball back and that golden thread and let me experience my suffering so that I could experience the joy of living life." Well, that's how many of us are. We don't recognize that the pains and the struggles of life, just like the pains and struggles of a gym, very often cause us to grow. So instead of hurrying, recognize that whatever suffering you're going through, though very often it's not from the Lord can be in it with you. And what the devil meant for bad, God can turn it around for good. So don't be in a hurry. And don't hustle, but relax and trust the Lord. And watch all the great things that you can achieve, because your eyes are open and your mind is thinking. Great things will come to you. Life is too good to spend in a hurry. Life is too good to spend in a hurry. Don't waste your life. Experience it slowly. So, John Ortberg tells the story. He says that he went to pastor this humongous church in Chicago. And while he was there, he was just moving so fast, doing all the stuff and doing amazing things for God. You know, the church was growing, preaching great sermons, helping all sorts of people, but he was feeling like he was dying spiritually. And he goes out and he's just feeling like spiritually dead, and he calls his mentor, Dallas Willard. And he says, "What do I need to do to be spiritually healthy?" And he says, Dallas gave a long pause. He said, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." Another long pause. Then John says, "Okay, I've written that one down." He says, "I told him a little impatiently." "That's a good one. What else is there? I had a lot of things to do, and this was a long-distance call, so I was anxious to cram as many units of spiritual wisdom into the least amount of time as possible." Another long pause. "There is nothing else. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." That's why in 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul talks about love, and he says all the things that love is, what's the first thing love is, you know, on that list? Love is patient. It's patient. You want to live a loving life? You got to be patient. And flip that around. You want to experience love in your life? Friends, you want to experience love in your life? Good friendships, good marriage, good dating? You want to be a good parent? You want to be a good kid, a good to your parents? You want to be a good grandparent? You want to experience love? You want love in your life? Stop hurrying. Be patient. Relax. And it'll come to you. The great underground church leader, Wang Mingdao, said, "If you want to walk with God, you must do so at a walking pace." So I'm going to encourage you guys to leave this place and stop hurrying and experience God in every moment of your life. Practice statio. We've talked about that before. If you have an appointment, don't get there on time. Get there early and sit in your car. Take a deep breath and roll the windows down and listen to the birds and pray and prepare your heart and mind for what you're supposed to do. You can relax, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and relax and live unhurried. Father, we love you. We thank you for all you've given us, and we do trust you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Een mooie toespraak van Bobby. Volgende week spreekt hij over het thema Je kunt God onvoorwaardelijk vertrouwen. Mijn gast volgende week bij Hour of Power is minister van Landbouw, Natuur en Voedselkwaliteit, Carola Schouten. Een pittige minister die weet waar ze voor staat. En we gaan het natuurlijk over de natuur hebben die bedreigd wordt, over de landbouw en over de voedselkwaliteit en wat haar motiveert. Bijzondere vrouw in Hour of Power. En jongens, ik was helemaal vergeten om jullie het traditionele cadeautje te geven. Dus dat haast me om dat goed te maken. Kijk eens, voor jou de Hour of Power kinderbijbel. Hey! Yeah, that makes me happy. En dan voor jou dit mooie bord met de bekende spreuk. En Ellie, ik heb voor jou ook wat.
Maar ik heb al een heel mooi kruisje van Hour of Power. Kijk eens.
Ja, ja, dat is mooi, hè?
Yeah.
Oh ja, maar het was mijn laatste. Dus wie geeft wat hij heeft, is waard dat hij leeft. Maar weet je, jij vraagt weinig, dus je krijgt veel. Je krijgt het mooie boekje van Bobby Jure.
Dankjewel.
Nou, en al deze uitgaven die je hier ziet, kun je ook op onze website terugvinden. En daarmee steun je Hour of Power. Vrienden van Hour of Power, heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. En ik hoop, tot volgende week.
Wij hopen dat deze uitzending u heeft bemoedigd. Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power met Bobby Schuller. Blijf in contact met ons via social media, onze website of bel ons. In onze webshop vindt u vele prachtige geschenken die u bemoedigen en inspireren. De boodschap van Hour of Power heeft wereldwijd impact op miljoenen mensenlevens. Wij danken de donateurs die het financieel mogelijk maken dat we ook in Nederland elke week te zien zijn op televisie. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.